chaplain. And and it was really a joy yesterday to talk to a young man who has been in the military for 8 years and just recently trained as a sniper and leads the sniper unit down in Fort Polk, Louisiana. And it was really great because in that conversation, a lot of things that I've had the privilege of sharing and working with young men and young women when I was on active duty still applied to his life. And we had a very deep conversation. For instance, the question I asked him, how do you feel about looking through that scope on your rifle, and on the other side in that picture is a living human being? And that was quite a conversation we had, and how he has to struggle with that. It's not an easy question to answer. Well, today, the main idea that I want to talk about and finish with in my lesson today is the tremendous benefits of obedience. It just opens up a tremendous door of opportunity and blessing if we will obey. But like Jonah, each of us struggles with the opposite. We struggle with disobedience. There isn't a single person within the sound of my voice that doesn't struggle with it. Because obedience is pervasive. And so, against that desire to obey is disobedience. The question I ask is, where does that come from? Why is it that we're always struggling with disobedience? I think it began in the Garden of Eden. For when God set boundaries for Adam and Eve, those boundaries challenged Adam and Eve in this area of, are you going to obey? Are you going to recognize those boundaries and honor them? And we know, of course, they dishonored him. They chose to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. They rebelled against the command. And rebellion is in the heart of all of us. Do you agree? We see that very plainly in the story of Jonah. Jonah heard the voice of God, and he made a choice. He chose to say no to God's command. The command was very specific. There was no question about it. And I can just see his response when the Holy Spirit spoke into his heart and said, go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, say what? Go to Nineveh? Nineveh was the heart of that nation that was already troubling the nation of Israel. They were known as vicious, unscrupulous destroyers of human life and culture. Those they didn't kill, they boxed up their few belongings and herded them off to other countries. What a terrible enemy Nineveh and the Assyrian nation was. And God said, go and warn them that in 40 days this whole city will be destroyed. Jonah said, no, I won't go. In fact, I want to get as far away from that nation of Assyria as I can. And so we have the story. It's interesting, as I've meditated on this action of rebellion, there was tremendous consequences that occurred as a result of it. His decision to go to Joppa and buy a ticket and head for Tarshish, which is probably as far away as he could possibly go in the known world at that time, way out to Gibraltar. That decision cost him, and it cost the ship and all of the sailors that were on it. They ran into a great storm. God sent a mighty wind and stirred up the ocean. And these sailors that were used to a rough sea thought that they were doomed. But to save the ship and their lives, they began to toss over everything they didn't need in that moment. Their cargo and their tackle and all the other things that were not essential for keeping the ship afloat. It cost the sailors, and they were in fear for their life. And good old Jonah, what was he doing? He was asleep down in the bowels of the ship. I think that Jonah didn't care if he lived or died. That all he cared about was not having to obey. And that's what happens to us. In our life, we are challenged to obey. There are a lot of levels where this challenge comes to us. For instance, take a look at my notes. By the way, you're wondering why I'm wearing a jacket. My wife didn't want me to show my suspenders. But I'll tell you, if I get too uncomfortable, I'm going to take it off. In a sense, all of the difficulties that we face in life, all of the challenges, all the problems of relationship and work and possessions center around our propensity to say no to such things as where did my notes go? There are such things as what confronts us every day in terms of little things that we are challenged to do. Let me give you an illustration of this. When I was in basic training back in 1962, I was at Fort Ord, California, and I belonged to a training company. And of course, in the training company, the leadership of that training unit is very much aware of what's going on, and they're very attuned to what's happening to those that they are charged to train. And what I had observed was that if we were on break, we were maybe sitting on the steps in front of the barracks, and the drill sergeant came along, he might stop and say, "Hey, you, soldier, get over here and pick up this cigarette butt." And it was very demeaning. These guys, they wouldn't have picked up a cigarette butt unless they were paid for it. And they were getting paid, but they wouldn't do it anyway. So they had to come over and pick it up and take it and throw it in a trash can. Of course, the guy who threw the cigarette butt on the ground, if he had been caught doing it, the drill sergeant would probably say, "Now pick it up and eat it." Anybody experience that? So I'm looking at that process, and I'm saying, what's better, for me to see it and pick it up, or to have the sergeant come along and embarrass me and tell me to do it? And so I started doing that. I didn't wait for someone to come along, because it was expected that if there was some trash on the ground, it would be picked up. And so I did that with everything that they asked me to do. I would raise my hand for every volunteer activity. The sergeant would say, "I need 3 truck drivers. How many of you have had experience driving a truck?" So I raised my hand, because I had a little bit of experience. And so when he'd gotten his 3 volunteers, of course, he said, "See those wheelbarrows over there? I want you to pick up a shovel and bring that wheelbarrow over here, and we're going to move some dirt." So I made those kinds of commitments to do whatever came along, because one thing I couldn't tolerate was downtime. I did not like to just sit around. So I stayed busy. And one time we were standing in formation, and the sergeant said, "I need volunteers for this." I raised my hand. I was the only one to raise my hand, and he said, "Kelso, put your hand down. I'm looking for somebody else." And in that moment, I realized I was free. That sergeant couldn't tell me to do something I didn't already want to do. God was working in my spirit. I could rebel, I could resist, I could hide from duties and responsibilities like some of the young men in the training company. And I noticed that they were the most miserable of those in that unit, because they were always being told to do something that they didn't want to do. They were always fighting against it. But those who said, "I will do it," were free. I experienced that. And for you, if you are fighting against something that the Holy Spirit is telling you you need to do, submit to it. There's a tremendous cost to not submitting, to rebelling against the boundaries and the oughts and the shoulds that come along with life. Don't wait to be commanded to do it, because there is bondage in that. If you have a job that you really don't like to do, do it with all your heart. That's what the scriptures implore us to do, because in doing it, being proactive, there is a great freedom. There's a sense of personhood that you will not receive any other way. When temptation comes, say no to it. Don't give in to it. For in giving in to it, you enter into bondage. And there's a great penalty that accrues to that. I'm willing to say that almost all of my difficulties in life have stemmed from my refusal to say yes. I don't know where you are today. Maybe you have the same kinds of issues. Say yes to the Holy Spirit. Say yes to what God wants to accomplish in your life. Some of you have a call on your heart for missions, for ministry, for full-time service in the kingdom of God, and you're fighting against it. There's a cost associated with that. It affects not only you, but others as well. God wants your submission, because in submitting to his lordship, wonderful things happen. Let me just take a few minutes to name some of these. Here are some of the spiritual benefits that accrue. By the way, I don't think Jonah ever said, "Yay, I get to go to Nineveh." He doesn't need your joyful approval of what he's asking you to do, because some of the things he asks us are very difficult. They cost us. They're uncomfortable. There are things we have to give up in the process. But the payoff, when Jonah went and proclaimed the destruction of Nineveh, and it was a great city. It was 3 days' journey, and a day's journey was probably around 20 miles. He walked through the city, and he said, 40 days, and you're finished. God used the simple message that he had given him to change the nation, to change the course of those leaders, to turn it around, and for at least a generation, if not two. God diverted the Assyrian nation from destroying the Israelites. He postponed the consequences of Israel's sin to give the innocent, to give another generation a chance of repenting and turning to him. That's God's mercy. Things can happen when we say yes to God's call on our life. Where are you in responding to God's call? Has he asked you? Has he shown you something that you can do? And are you saying yes to what he is saying? Each of us is confronted with that rebellious thing in us that needs discipline, needs submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. I don't have time to tell of the time I came to that place where I had to answer the question, is Jesus Christ worthy of being the Lord of my life? And I made a concerted choice. In that moment, I said, Lord, from this day on, you get the credit for my success. You get the blame for my failures. Because now you're in charge. Are you willing to go to that extent? God bless that commitment. He took it very seriously. And the pattern of life that followed that is so exciting. Here's what happens when we submit to the lordship of Christ. I got some scriptures I want to show you. First of all, according to John 14:13, there is answered prayer. You can ask anything. You can ask for anything in my name, and I'll do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Answered prayer. Some of you wonder where God is sometimes, because when you call upon him in the midst of your rebellion, you wonder where he's at. Does he really hear? My brother, who was in the military, was a driver for a colonel that went throughout Europe visiting the impoundment, the depots where they kept the atomic warheads. And he would go from one guest house to another. The colonel never stayed on base. He always stayed in a civilian German hotel or a, what we called a guest house, a small facility like a motel. One day, he returned to one that he had been in before, and there's this lovely, beautiful woman, the daughter of the proprietor of the house. And over time, every time he visited, he would strike up a relationship with this young woman. He was single at the time, so he had that freedom. My brother was always very faithful to his time in the Word, his time of prayer. And one visit to this particular place, I think it was in Belgium, he was on his knees praying. And the enemy of his soul asked him a question. Does God really hear your prayer? Because at the same time, there was bubbling up in his spirit a lust, a desire for a relationship. And in answer to that question, he said, no, I don't think God hears my prayer. So he got up off his knees, pursued his desire for this girl, and as a consequence, within just a matter of weeks, he developed an irregular heartbeat. And what had happened is his aortic valve in his heart began to disintegrate, began to fail. He ended up having an artificial heart valve and lived the rest of his life on Coumadin to keep the blood thin. He came to see me. I was in seminary at Western Evangelical Seminary. He was on his way to the Veterans Hospital in Portland to have surgery for that heart valve. And so we got to talking as I was taking him to the hospital there. And I said, tell me the story. Tell me what happened as a result of what brought this on, because it wasn't known in our family. There wasn't any history of this kind of weakness. And he told me the story. So I took him in his mind back to that moment he was on his knees by his bed. And I said to him, Jim, I want you to relive that moment and confess your unbelief and ask forgiveness. And he did in the car. And he repented of his rebellion against God and accepted again that Jesus had the right to be his Lord and his Master. From that point, Jim died this year. His heart began to break down, and he developed a pancreatic cancer, and it went to his liver, so the Lord took him, but he was 80 years old. He lived probably 55 years with this artificial heart valve. But God gave him a fullness of life, because he went back, confessed his sins, and began to seek the Lord, and the Lord heard him and answered his prayer. Secondly, John says in John chapter 14, verses 5 through 17, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He pours into us the power of his Spirit, so that we can say no to rebellion. Rebellion never leaves us as long as we're in this flesh, but it doesn't rule us when Jesus is given first place. We'll skip that, Helen, and we'll go to the next one. We experience the love of the Father, John 14:22. Let's see that one. Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and he will come and make our home with each of them." The love of the Father and his indwelling, his being at home in our life, do you think that'll make a difference? Speaking of homes, this week, Jeanette and I move out of our home and take one that is only half the size. That means there's a lot of stuff that's going to have to go somewhere else and occupy somebody else's home or storage unit. And that's what happens when we accept him into our heart and life in all of his fullness. There's a whole lot of stuff that needs to go. There's not a whole lot of room for the rebellious stuff that we collect in opposition to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Don't go there. You don't need that. You can bypass that. It's not important. The Holy Spirit helps us to say no. And then finally, we get to know who Jesus really is. A lot of our lack of understanding of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us is because we are caught up in a spirit of rebellion. Do you think he wants to make his home in a contentious heart that is occupied with seeking our own will and doing our own thing and saying no to the oughts and ought-tos that come to us every day? We demonstrate our love for Jesus, John 14:23. We demonstrate our love for Jesus when we obey him. And our fellowship with Jesus is solid. It holds through whatever difficulties and trials come our way. And our life becomes fruitful, John says in John 15:16. Things happen. People are affected by our life, by our words. And then our relationships will be governed, John says, by true love. Not only is our relationship with Jesus healthy and growing, and we understand, we say yes to his nudging, we say yes to the scriptures he says to us, he shows us. But more than that, our relationship with each other, beginning with our spouse, beginning in our family, really begins to grow and mature and become so healthy and fruitful. Are you saying yes to Jesus today? Is he the Lord of your life? Have you made that commitment? Unreserved, nothing held back? What a blessing to obey. What a benefit accrues to us when we say yes to him. And it's important to realize that these decisions are not made on the basis of our feelings. We don't have to feel good about obeying him. We just do it because it's the right thing. When I was growing up, my father never said, "I want you to cut that wood." We had a wood stove and a wood fireplace to keep the house warm in those days. He didn't say, "I want you to cut that wood and stack it before I get home from work tonight. And I want you to love it." I did it because I knew what the consequences would be. But it was also a way to honor my dad. And it was also important that I demonstrate who I am as a believer in Jesus Christ. What is God saying to you today? Is there something in your life that you have said no to God about, and it's now time to turn that around and say yes? To commit to Him that part of you that has said no to what He's asking you to do? Listen, you never have to give up anything that He doesn't replace with His glorious presence. He answers prayer. He builds relationships. He makes your life fruitful. What a benefit by saying yes to His commands. Pray with me, would you? You've been speaking to us, to me too. I'm struggling with some areas in my own life that I'm still growing and saying yes to You and letting You be the Lord of all my life, not just part of it, but all of it. And so in the struggle that all of us face in this moment, I pray the Holy Spirit would enable us to say yes, particularly to that area, that behavior, that possession, that habit, whatever it may be. I pray, O God, that each one would say yes and follow You, depending on You, because when You take control, there is victory in every way. And Lord, we praise You for that victory we have in Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. What are we going to sing? Trust and obey. Stand with me.